Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. And I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. Join me to hear the stories of powerful women of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. And be sure to join us in the Women, Faith, and Business community on Facebook by going to facebook.com/groups/Women, Faith, and Business or searching for Women, Faith, and Business on Facebook. See you in the community and enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Women, Faith, Plus Business Podcast. I'm always excited to have a guest on. Last season, I had a whole solo season and I didn't have guests, but this season, it's all about guest interviews. And I have an amazing guest that I'm going to be chatting with today, Jeannie Gormick. Jeannie, I actually met in CBG, which is the Christian Business Partner Network. And she's just full of energy and life and bubbling over with enthusiasm and so much knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that she's going to be sharing with us. I'm going to actually let you guys know her official bio. Jeannie Gormick is a keynote speaker and a best-selling author of Your Treasured Marriage. With a bachelor's degree in psychology, she spent many years as a senior retirement counselor, director of marketing for the senior industry, and is an active member of Mothers of Preschoolers, MOPS, Speakers Network. Her greatest achievement is her 50-year marriage to her beloved late husband, Hal Gormick. Today, Jeannie inspires, encourages, and engages those in committed relationship and those considering marriage to create a treasured, long-lasting love. Welcome to the show, Jeannie. So excited to have you.
Thank you, Nadine. It's wonderful to be here and address your audience. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
You are so welcome. So here at the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast, it's all about conversations about women of faith in business. And as we know, this business journey is not easy. And it's kind of like a faith journey. I always say it's a faith journey as well as a business journey at the same time. Everyone's journey looks different, right? Your business journey is not the same like mine. Your faith journey is not the same like mine. So I always love for people to share their specific journeys. So let's start off with your business journey. What has your business journey been like? We heard a little bit about the highlights of your career and what you've been doing. But share with us a little bit about how that looked, the ups, the downs, the whatever you feel led to share about your business journey.
Fantastic. Actually, I think I will start with a challenge that we had in business. And the we is not me. My late husband and I actually on the side had a fundraising business, and it was all about him getting up on stage and selling auction items on behalf of nonprofit groups. And I say it was a challenge because working with your spouse in business is more difficult than you go to your job, I go to my job, and you come home at night. So that was really my first experience. And almost simultaneously, I had just come to faith in the Lord. So I was trying to juggle all of that. But then because of the fundraising business and because part of it was promoting the events on behalf of the small nonprofits that we were working with, I started doing press releases, and that developed into my own public relations company way back in the day. I doubt if I could do it today because of social media and all these things that young people understand, and I'm learning, I'm getting there. But I had several public relations clients. My focus was on the small businesses. And if I have a second, I want to share because everybody knows what a handyman is. But because of the Lord and my connection with him, I was able to get him in a full page neighborhood community newspaper as just a handyman. That's not like this great big business, but I was able to do it. And he paid me to write it, but it cost him nothing. It was like this full page kind of a thing, instead of him putting an ad in the paper for him being a handyman. And we interviewed his clients, and it's just, oh my gosh. So that's kind of a real blessing that I was able to bring to a one-man business. So I had fun with that. I worked with the Chamber of Commerce and all of that. And then I went into corporate life, essentially, and that was the 20 some odd years that I spent in the senior industry, in various different places. And then while I was working in hospice, that was actually my last position, COVID showed up. And so we all got sent home. I was still being paid, but basically I only worked on Wednesdays because that was the obligation I had. It was crazy time. But we all went through it, so I don't have to go further with that. But at that point, and I've always been a writer, at that point, I got bored really fast. Because let's see, we were sent home in March. By April, I had fixed up two of my other books and I published them on Amazon. But then, and this was all after I had lost my late husband. Cal died in January of 2019, so a year before COVID. So I was wrestling with widowhood and grief and how to best navigate those waters. But for 40 years, I'd been writing Your Treasured Marriage. That wasn't even the title of the book at that point. But 10 years into our marriage, my late husband, Cal, said, you're doing all this writing. You should write about us. Which I thought that was a great idea because we have an unusual, we were high school sweethearts, but it was unusual, and my parents didn't think he was the right person for me, all that stuff. 50 years later, who was right? But that I'm not, you don't ever get into right and wrong. But anyway, so COVID slowed everything down, and I was able to take my notes, my manuscript, update it for the 21st century, and I did it the right way. I hired a book coach. I learned a lot of tricks along the way because this is actually a legacy to my late husband as much as it's a resource for people who want to get married or they're in marriage. And how the heck can somebody be married for 50 years? So right now, my bottom line is I'm dedicated to marriage and making it work.
Yeah, I love that so much, Jeannie. I love how you took us on the journey. First of all, from working with your husband in fundraising, right? The challenges of working with your spouse. Like you said, it's one thing when you're going to separate jobs and then you come home and you talk about what happened at work for you today, or what did you do today? But when you're at work together, you already It's almost like you're taking it home sometimes. So I know that could be like a whole entire podcast on its own when
You got
people
it.
work with their spouses and the challenges of that. But even moving on to like your public relations career and being able to provide advertorials, you know, it wasn't basically an
You know the
advertorial. I
terminology.
know the
I'm
terminology.
proud of you.
Being in the marketing space, you know, marketing, public relations, and advertising are very closely tied. So I definitely understand that, you know, providing someone with an advertorial and how that can have a major impact, especially in a major publication on their business and, you know, the influence you were able to help small business owners have in that position was amazing. And then moving on your journey, you know, working in the hospice area. And then, of course, we all had to deal with the pandemic and then being forced to be at home and then going ahead and publishing these books in such a short window. But it may have been a short window, but it was kind of in the back of your mind for years when your husband planted the seed, God rest his soul, way back when on, hey, why don't you write a book about us? So I love how you kind of just took us along the journey to today and the work that you're passionate about, which is helping people with marriages, which is so important because honestly, I feel in this day and age that we're living in, marriage isn't treated the same, especially with different generations. A lot of people take to divorce, and I know there's certain situations where divorce is needed and necessary, and I'm not down anyone who had to go through that. But marriage requires work. You know, anyone who's married, the first thing they say is it's work, right? It's a lot of work, right? So for you to dedicate this time and your passion to helping people in relationships that are about to get married or helping people in marriages with the work that they have to do in the marriage, I think is so needed and necessary, especially for this time in history that we're in. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this new season that you're in on this business journey. So, as you know, this podcast isn't just about your business and your business journey, but you're obviously a woman of faith, right? And you talked a little bit about how you started coming into your faith when you were in business with your husband. But I'd like for you to share a little bit about your faith journey. How did you become a believer in Jesus Christ? What did that path look like for you? And how has that journey been?
Yeah, you know, it kind of amazes me myself because I was so young when I started searching. I had been, let's see, baptized, confirmed, and raised in a church. But as a teenager, I started looking, and this doesn't make any sense. I didn't understand the triunity of God. And I grew up outside of New York City, so I had a lot of male and female friends who were Jewish. And to this day, because I'm not sensitive about my age at all. I was a teenager in the 1960s. I don't know how I figured this out, or somebody told me Jesus was Jewish. And that it wasn't from the church. So it was like, oh man, that blew my mind. All right, I don't believe in anything that the church is teaching me. You know, I threw that out the window. So I started my search at age 16, looking for Jesus as a Jew. I wanted to be Jewish. So in my heart, I was Jewish, but I know you can't believe this, but back then I was shy. I'm not shy anymore. But at that time, it's like, how do I become Jewish? You know, what do I do? And I had a girlfriend who took me to her temple, and that just like it didn't go any place as far as my conversion, but it cemented within me, oh, this is beautiful. This is what I want. So at 17, I met my late husband. So this all happened before I met him. In a nutshell, quickly, I on our first date, I told him that I wanted to be Jewish. He went home and told his parents, and his mother cautioned him. This is a Gentile woman. Well, actually, she probably didn't use that terminology, this is a Christian woman, assuming I was Christian, because there's a lot of misunderstanding between Christian, Gentile, and Jewish. Anyway, but my husband liked me, so he asked me for a second date. So we continued dating, but as I got to know his parents, his mother was able to introduce me to the rabbi. And the rabbi, Judaism, again, is a little different from Christianity. With Christianity, we're trying to bring new believers to the faith. But Judaism tries to discourage you because this is a difficult journey. People don't like Jewish people. I mean, it was crazy, but I was going to do this. So, just before we were married, I had converted, but not because of the marriage. And I think that's a very important thing to say. Okay, so we get married in the temple. For 13 years of our marriage, we were raising our kids Jewish, and we finally found a temple. There was a little bit of a between the time we found the temple and our coming to California. I had gone to the Unitarian Church years before in my search, and so we tried the Unitarian Church, but my husband didn't really like it, and I volunteered to be a teacher, but they wouldn't let me be a teacher. Well, I could be a teacher, but their values were so different. I couldn't even bring the Old Testament in there. So, and the Bible was taboo, you know. So, when they started opening a new temple, we were not quite founding members, but close. And our kids were being raised Jewish. Okay, fast forward. I'm working in title insurance in the real estate world. And I was being exposed. Back then, I called it, it's even in my book, the invasion of the Christians. It's like, you have the audacity to talk about Christ to me, and I'm a convert. You know, anyway, I could go on and on with funny stories with that. But slowly but surely, God was showing me Jesus is my son. Jesus is the way. He is your Messiah. He spoke my Jewish language, my adopted Jewish language. And I accepted over a time period. You know, a lot of people confess their sins, come to the Lord, and it's an immediate kind of a thing. Mine was, what's this going to do to that marriage? My husband's going to leave me, whatever. And he never would have done that, but fear. And where does fear come from? It comes from the enemy. So I overcame all of that, and I came to the Lord. I accepted him. My parents had given me the tract on how to come to the Lord, so I knew that. I don't even know why I kept it all those years, but I pulled it out. I knew what I was doing. And then I started sharing with my friends that I knew were Christians, and with some of my realtors who were Christians. And they sort of guided me through, and I started at a church. And my husband was okay with all of this. Again, this is in the book, but essentially I knew that I needed to tell him, but how was I going to do it? I went to a jewelry store, got a little teeny tiny little gold cross. And I thought, okay, that'll spark the conversation because I really didn't want to talk to him about it. But then his father went in the hospital and we were visiting his dad. My husband didn't even see the cross. He had not seen the cross. My father-in-law calls us on the phone just to talk. He's still in the hospital. And he said to Cal, he said, Jeannie had a cross. What's going on? And Cal's defending me. No, she doesn't have a cross, you know, whatever. Well, we got off the phone and I pulled him into the bedroom and closed the door so the kids wouldn't hear because I didn't want, we had decisions to make. Anyway, So I told him, and he was so sweet. This was just the man he was. He said, "Okay, you do what you need to do for yourself, but don't talk Jesus to me." So he kind of shut off to the Jesus thing, but he allowed me to move forward in my faith. Which very slowly I did. And by the way, for anybody who is in any kind of a situation similar to that, don't do what we all do the first year we try to witness to our spouses or significant others, and we leave tracts, we leave our Bible out. That's extremely offensive, or it can be. And so I learned. But it took me a year. I'm a little stubborn. But then I backed off and went forward from
Awesome. I love that faith
there.
journey because it's so rich, starting from your youth, having that rebellious streak. Like, I'm not believing this stuff. I'm going to do my own thing. In fact, I'm Jewish and I want to be Jewish. And this is the whole Jewish lifestyle that I like. And, falling in love with someone that was Jewish and then changing to the Jewish faith and being in that faith for a while before, you met someone that helped to convert you back, to the original. It's a journey that a lot of people don't go on. A lot of that, and this is why I have these discussions on the podcast, because everyone's journey is different, right? And we can learn from everyone's journey and what they went through. And then, getting back to Jesus Christ. And then, of course, again, you could have do a whole podcast on interfaith marriages, right? What how do you navigate? How do you, talk about religion in your household when one person is a different religion and has a different belief system than the other person? And then how do you evangelize in a way? So that again could be a whole nother podcast. But I love that that was a part of your faith journey and what you went through and where you're at today, in your faith was a part of that process in your faith journey. So, on this podcast, we talk about both faith and business. You shared your business journey, you shared your faith bit, your faith journey. But how do you actually combine faith and business? What does that look like for you? Are you publicly doing it? And how do you publicly do it? And why did you make that decision?
Oh wow. Well, I can take you right quickly to present day, and then I'll back up a little. Present day, I'm focusing on your treasured marriage, and trying to get the word out about marriage and how to overcome different seasons within your marriage. And all of that, I had the decision to make whether this is going to be a secular attempt, or was it going to be faith-based? And of course, the business head, maybe a little bit of the enemy head, was saying, well, if you go faith-based, you're going to have less people, participating. But I made that choice through prayer, prayers of others, and just decided, you know what? This is God's project. That book isn't even my book, you guys. So, I chose to go forward with whatever I do now as faith-based. So, going back a little bit, I just always I tried to pray Well, once I got into the routine of understanding as a person how I needed to learn about Jesus, learn about God, learn about the Holy Spirit, and be led by that triune God, I committed to sitting down in the morning with the Bible, with a devotion, and praying and asking for God to lead me. And that leads to praying for your business. But I will share one incident that maybe people can visualize what it was. I can't even remember what the client was or whatever, but they weren't happy with the results that I came up for them in my PR company. And it's like, oh man. And they called me into the office, and it was a fairly large company. So it was like, gosh, I wish I'd done a better job. But I started to get really fearful. I was on the entry level, getting on the elevator and going up to whatever floor they were on. And I said, okay, Jesus, this is my hand. Take my hand and walk me up there, because I don't want to go. But I visually, and it's so it I think it was the only time that it was really, it penetrated me so much that I needed to hold his hand. Or a pastor once told a story. I think it was a father and a son, and the father was saying prayers, getting the son into bed, and the kid is gets frustrated by this unknown God someplace, and he says, Daddy, I need God with skin on. Okay, that's what I needed at that moment was, okay, take my hand, walk me through this, give me the courage, hold back my tongue, teach me to listen. I'm still learning that one, but he got me through that. And it was very dramatic. So I have, and then I'm in Christian Business Partners. That's the only networking group that I'm in right now. And I've been in it, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years. I started when I was in hospice and I was looking for hospice volunteers. And then when COVID came, and praise God, that chapter that I'm in Yorba Linda is online. And then we get together for lunch periodically. But because of my physical location and the location of the chapter, I can only be in that chapter because of Zoom. So, but
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
it.
That's awesome. And just to recap a little bit about your
Sure.
combining your faith and your business, I love how, first of all, you made prayer an important step, right? When it comes to decision making in business, seeking God's will and having a conversation with Him as to what is it you desire for me to do. So if you go back to the book, Your Treasured Marriage, you had a decision to make. Your decision was, I can make it in a secular way and eliminate any faith base in it, and maybe appeal in my mind, right, in your mind, to a bigger audience, right? Or I can make it faith-based and really glorify God and add, faith-based principles in the book, but I may have a smaller audience. So you prayed about it and you said, Lord, what is the decision? And you felt convicted that you had to do a faith-based book. It had to glorify God and His principles and His way, especially when it comes to marriage, which was ordained by God in the very beginning, right? If we truly think about it, this is a God thing. Marriage is a God thing. So to leave Him out of it is difficult. So you were convicted to move forward as a faith-based book. So I think the first part of combining faith and business is the inward seeking God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding when it comes to decision making, right? And then whenever you have difficulties in business, like in the case that you mentioned with your PR company and dealing with this client who wasn't pleased with your services, now you're like, Lord, I need you. I need you to hold my hand. I need you to hold my tongue. I need you to be an ever-present feeling or source in this very moment. So whether it's praying for decision making, is how you combine your faith and business, whether it's publicly including faith in whatever you're working on or you have published, whether it's a book, a podcast, or whatever, or whether it's inwardly needing the presence of God to deal with a circumstance or situation in your business. And I love the analogy that you said, I need a God with skin on it, right? I need a God
Yeah.
because, I need to feel you. Even if I don't see you with skin on, I feel your presence and you're holding my hand and holding my tongue and being here for me in this very moment. So I love those examples of combining your faith and business in your life and how you've been combining your faith and your business. So this season, we're talking about alignment and knowing that you're in alignment with God's will, right? So how do you know? We've talked about different seasons throughout your business, throughout your faith, and your book is about seasons in marriage, right? So how do you know in this season that you are actually in alignment with God's will for your life and for your business? How are you convinced that this is God's assignment for you in this season and you're in alignment with it?
Well, it's very interesting because I can back up. I'm not sure. Well, it was ch before COVID, and it was a side hustle that I was doing because I was working full time. And I put groups together. And initially, it was for small business women who owned their businesses, because even though I was out in the corporate world, I'm entrepreneurial at heart. There's no two ways about it. So I put together, and it went for a couple of years, and it was going really well. This is great. And then COVID hit, and so to answer your question and bring God into it, he seemed to be blessing them. And then I made a switch before COVID to make it more faith-based. And I actually called them Lydia's, I well, whatever. See, the old age does get to the brain sometimes. But anyway, Lydia's daughters. And the idea was, these are faith-based women who own businesses, and I was helping them. Then COVID hit, and I do praise God because I learned about Zoom and how to open Zoom up, and we continued, but it was dwindling down. So I made switches. That's not going to work. I told everybody, if you need anything, just contact me, but we're not going to have the groups. And then maybe a year into COVID, I was thinking, well, now people are more used to the Zoom and all that. I tried to bring it back. But to answer your question, God can close doors. God can. He does. He closes doors. So it's like I had a pastor that said, you don't sit in a rocking chair and just wait for the Lord to come. And, you go out there and attempt to open doors. But sometimes those doors are going to be closed. And even my Jewish husband, because he must have heard this someplace, that when God closes a door, he opens a wi window. He actually told me that. My Jewish husband, he did come to the Lord toward the end of his life, but my Jewish husband is telling me what should have, well, it was just a blessing that it came out of his mouth, is all I can say. So that's God's opening and closing doors has really guided me.
Yeah, I love that answer. First of all, I feel like, you have a heart for something. Like you said, you had a heart to start this group of Lydia's daughter. So I think knowing you're in alignment for that season is knowing it's in your heart, first of all, right? But a season is a season. So there is
Yeah,
going to be a
good
time
point.
where it ends, right? We have to move from winter to spring to summer to fall. That's how this seasonal thing works. So winter has to end, spring has to end. So even though you may have a heart for something, it has to have an ending, right? Because the season is ending. So God closes those doors. But when he closes the doors, as your husband mentioned, he opens up a window or he opens the next door of opportunity for you. So your responsibility after a closed door is to still take actions, to still move forward, to not be still and be in a rocking chair, but take action and move forward, and God will reveal the next open door for you. And the next open door for you was, stepping into your treasured marriage and really focusing on helping people in relationships and really using your platform and the 50 years of experience that you had with your marriage to then help other people. So he opened up a door for the opportunity to do that.
Yes.
So I would say, How you know you're in alignment with God's will for your business or even your life is knowing that God will close doors and he will open up windows or doors of opportunity for the next assignment. So it's just being aware of that. And also, I would say, also being gracious in the closed doors, right? Because, like you said, you could continue, like, oh, I have to do this. I love this. I love this so much. It's my heart to do it. But God is like, no, that season is up. So being gracious and understanding when something is closed and allowing and opening up your heart for the next thing and what God has next on your journey helps you with being in alignment with God's
Yes.
will. So I love that.
Did you know when you're in alignment with your God-given assignment, you're actually anointed for the work? Knowing you're in alignment is key, in alignment with God's will, God's word, and God's way. Discover how to align your life and business with God's divine plan with this on-demand Power of Divine Alignment Summit. During the summit, you will get access to 12 experts as we go deep on the topic of divine alignment. Simply go to powerofdivinealignmentsummit.com. That's powerofdivinealignmentsummit.com and use code podcast to get a special discount on this on-demand summit. So use the code podcast at powerofdivinealignmentsummit.com.
So one of the key signature questions I ask on the podcast, every single guest, every single season, it's a signature question. So it's always coming, and season 7 is no different. Is how would you describe the power of faith? How would you describe the power of faith? As a woman of faith in business, how is that powerful? How is there power in faith? How would you describe it? Or even
Very
define
interesting.
it? Yeah, define or describe it.
Very interesting, because one of my struggles with the Lord is my strength as a human being, female on this planet. And so often I get ahead of the Lord. And when I do that, I'm spinning my wheels. It's sounding good. Oh yeah, I just heard that this is the way you market. This is the way you do this. But the door, like, it doesn't even open, but I'm trying to open it. So the power of my faith, I believe, is when I let go. And it's very hard if you're a strong woman, and I know a lot of your audience is going to be strong women, and the personality traits that are stronger women, or raising your kids. It's like, the typical thing, wait until your daddy gets home, and I never ever did that. I took action. Now, when you're raising kids, it's a little bit different from operating with God in his power, but it's that same concept. Okay, fine, there's a problem. Let's, nip it in the bud and go. And that's my personality. So God and I wrestle sometimes with, oh, okay, I'm not supposed to be doing that. So I need to allow the power of my faith in the creator of the world, not my faith in me.
Yes, I love that. So the power of faith is letting go, knowing that God is in control, and so trusting that. So letting go and letting God. We've heard that terminology before. Letting go and letting God. That really is the power of faith. So this podcast is also about business. So I'm going to ask the same question as it pertains to business. How would you define or describe the power of business?
Interesting. Well, the one thing I love about small business entrepreneurism, CBP, and some of the other networking organizations, there's always going to be somebody who's out for themselves. So you go to a chamber function and they're just talking about this wonderful health product that they have. But the power of business is when you meet somebody that really wants to help you grow your business and I grow their business. And working in collaboration as a team, even if you can't give back directly to that person. For instance, if you're a small business, you might have a good friend who works for a big corporation. And it's almost like never the twain shall meet. However, they may have a wealth of knowledge to make you powerful in your small little tiny business. And you probably can't reciprocate directly, but you can reciprocate to Susie over here, who she's just starting her business. And see, I got the home-based business down. So it's like, but to answer your question, I think the power, one of the biggest powers of business is when you are not being selfish, you are reaching out to help the other person.
Yeah, I love that. Not being selfish and reaching out to help others is what business is all about. It's really about helping other people, whether it's in the service of your business or if it's networking and having another fellow entrepreneur and business owner to collaborate with or share a referral or a resource with. It, at the end of the day, it's about helping and being a help to individuals. And because this podcast is audio, I do want to mention that Jeannie's book is See Dick and Jane Start a Home-Based Business. So she's written several books. We've talked a lot about her first, her book right now, which she's focusing on, which is Your Treasured Marriage. But she also has a book called See Dick and Jane Start a Home-Based Business. So she knows a lot about business. So that question, how would you describe the power of business? She's written a whole book about home-based businesses. So she's knowledgeable in that area too, not just relationships. So I definitely appreciate it. So as I said, I knew this would be an amazing conversation with Jeannie. She's full of wisdom, full of knowledge, full of understanding. So I knew she'll come with all that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to this episode. So Jeannie, if someone would like to learn a little bit more about the work that you do in the world, and even if they just want to connect with you, what is the best way for them to connect with you and learn more about the work that you do in the world?
Okay, this sounds a little strange, but if you can spell my name correctly, Jeannie, Jeanne, last name Gormick, Gormick, you can Google me. I show up all over the place for an old person or an old dog learning new tricks, you know. But my website is the same, jeanniegormick.com. Very simple. And that will take you to all of the different things that I'm pursuing right now.
Awesome. So definitely check out Jeannie's website. She has a very unique name. Not everyone can say Google me. Some people with like Jane Smith, right? There's probably a million Jane Smiths and you might not be able to find the right one on the first page. But Jeannie's name is unique. And so Google her and you'll be able to find her, but also go straight to her website. She spelled out her name for us. And Jeannie, you've mentioned your age several times, and I know you said you're not shy about sharing your age, but now I'm curious because you've been mentioning your age so much. Do you want to share with the audience what your age is? Totally up to you.
Of course, if you do the math, and I flunked math in fifth grade, so if my audience is like that, that's fine. Anyway, if I've been married for 50 years and we met in high school and he's been gone for 5 years, my age of 74 makes sense.
Awesome. I love it. And I couldn't do the math. You started with the numbers there. 16 minus four plus four plus 50. Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm lost already. Sorry. Math is not my thing. So I'm glad that you mentioned it. But you are amazing, doing amazing things in the world at 74. And just definitely reach out to Jeannie. She is an amazing wealth of information and It's a joy to always speak to her and connect with her. And it was a joy to have you on this episode of the podcast. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information, but it was insightful and inspirational and offers you an opportunity for transformation in your life and in your business. Wherever you are listening, be sure to rate and review the podcast and also subscribe to get the next episode, or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list.